Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Joining us this morning. We've got a very good show for you planned for you this morning. Happy Sabbath and happy Shalom to all of you all that are joining us. You still have time to contact a friend or a family member to let them know that we're going to be on the air this morning. We're so grateful to God this morning to bring you this programming. So this time we want you to go ahead and all of those of you all who are going to be on program this morning, we're going to encourage you to press 1 on your dial so that you'll be with us this morning. We're certainly looking forward to that. This morning our topic is, as always, the Miracle Prayer Day, when God's mercy and grace when life is not fair. God's mercy and grace when life is not fair. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. So you still have time to call someone who may be scheduled to be on the programming this morning, someone who is that you might want to listen into this program this morning. You still have that time. So this morning what we're going to do is give you that one moment of opportunity to reach out to somebody else. Call them and let them know, hey, you know, you still got time to listen to this broadcast. Tune in, get up early. This morning is a miracle prayer day. And I'm certain that all of us who are under the sound of my voice right now, you know that it's a miracle that we're still alive. Every day is a miracle for me. Every morning that I wake up, I'm so grateful for God's miraculous blessings every day. So we want to be able to do that. Is to call someone. All right, this morning we are certainly looking forward to his grace and his mercy. We're going to start our program out early this morning. We're just going to pause for a moment of silent meditation. All right. Thank you, Father. Today we're going to be looking forward to praise, our praise report and so forth. This morning I want to go ahead and welcome my co-host, Principal LeBron. I want to bring her on. Good morning, LeBron. Sister LeBron, happy Sabbath. It's nice to have you with us. Good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Walker. It's a pleasure once again to be here. This is a... You want me to go ahead and do the welcome? I can go ahead and do the welcome right now, or?
Yes, why don't you go ahead and do that? Morning?
Okay. Good morning, everyone. I just want to say that God is good. He's a powerful God. He's worthy to be praised. It's a pleasure to wake up into his presence. This morning is a miracle day, and we're expecting a miracle this morning. I went to pick up my son yesterday. He had a fever at the school, and when we got there, the fever was gone, but when we came home, he had a fever again. So even as we speak this morning, later on, you'll probably hear a praise report again. So any of you that are here on the call, just like Dr. Walker said, call up your friends, call up your relative, call up anyone let them to come on the program so that they can hear the miracles that God has performed in other people's lives, and they can also testify what God has done for you. So I look forward to this program, and be blessed. Be blessed.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for thank you so very much for that this morning. I want to go ahead at this time, and as we continue with our program, we've got a lot to cover this morning. So we're going to, Ms. Ron, if you go in and remind them this morning how important it is that, you know, to mute their phones if they're not participating at the time, and press 1 if they are scheduled to participate, and so forth and so on.
Okay, anyone that's on the call, if you are scheduled to participate, whether it's throughout for a testimony, a song, whatever it is that you're doing, please make sure when you come on that you press 1, because that's the only way that Dr. Walker will know that you are in the queue, and so that we can make sure that you come on a timely manner. We don't have to call. We do appreciate, and also make sure that you mute everyone. Mute your phone if you are not if you're not saying a particular thing that, you know, whether it's scripture or song, whatever it is. If you're not doing anything, just go ahead and mute your phone so that it can give respect to whoever's presenting. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you for that. This time we're gonna continue with our praise and worship, and I want you all to stand by and listen to this song. When all else fails, just surrender to God.
I surrender.
not sure who we have on the line. I want to find out because I don't want to overlook anyone. This morning is a 321-609 number. Who do we have on with us? 321-609. All right.
It's Celsia.
I'm sorry?
Celsia.
Celsia? Okay.
Yes.
Okay, are you on program this morning?
Yes.
Okay. What is your participation? I'm sorry.
I'm doing the introduction.
Okay, all right. You're... All right, is your name Delcia? Is that your name?
Yes.
Okay, Delcia, Dita. Okay, and Brooke Shield. Okay, very good. Is your sister on with you as well?
Yes, she's here.
Okay, all right, very good. Thank you all so very much. I just didn't recognize the numbers. Okay, at this time we're going to pause for our opening prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for your blessings of this day and each day. Lord, we know that we face some turbulent times, but we know that you can calm things as you calm the Red Sea, as you calm the ocean. When the fishermen were on the boat with Jesus, and we're asking that you continue to be with us throughout today and this program according to your will, grace, and mercy. In Christ's name, I pray and thank you. Amen. All right. At this time, we're going to go ahead. I don't believe that Brother Gordon is on for the scripture, but we're going to go, and I want to read, have someone read, a volunteer to read John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. If I can get a volunteer this morning because he's not on, let not your heart be troubled. If not, then I can certainly do that. Let not your heart be troubled. John 14, 1 through 3. Can we get a volunteer this morning? All right, I'll go ahead and read that.
Yes,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yes, I was going to say John 14, 1 through 3.
Yes, John 14, 1 through 3. And just read that. I want to just say something. I got news last night of a friend who passed from COVID.
Right.
I know that people are wrestling with the decision on whether or not to get vaccinated, and certainly that, in my opinion, we're hearing all noises, you all, even when you're clearing your throat, we hear those noises. As I said, a friend, a very dear friend, I just got word late last night, and most people know that I can't take bad news at night, and it troubled my spirit to hear that bad news. She passed away of COVID, and she was not vaccinated, my understanding was. And I know that a lot of people are in the valley of decision when it comes to whether or not they should get vaccinated. You know, they're perhaps looking at the conspiracy theories that are certainly, a lot of them are out there. They're saying that they're still praying about this. You know, whatever your personal preference is, that's between you and your family, and certainly God, that's between your personal preferences. But I just would caution everyone to get the facts, you know, as best we know them. I don't believe that God will lead us into darkness. And I believe that if we're in pursuit of something and we're trusting him where we can know, we're not trusting ourselves. And what I decided is like, well, God, I'm going to do this here. I'm going to trust you. Even if I'm going in the wrong direction, I'm going to ask you to lead and guide me. So I want you to really think about this thing. And this morning I want you to, as John 14, 1 through 3 is being read, I want you to give your full trust and surrender it all to God this morning. And that's what that song was about. All to Jesus, I surrender. Surrender your decision to him. And I believe that he will impress upon your heart what to do. And it may be through someone else that he calls you and gives you something to think about. Certainly, my oldest son and his wife called me one day, and they gave me something to think about, which put me in the direction of getting the vaccine, and I'm pretty glad that I did. So, Ms. LeBron, I believe it is you that's going to read John 14:1-3. Is that right? All right. Go ahead, please.
All right.
Just with, you know, like...
John 14.
I mean, how to read it, but, like, where we can really trust God and know that our hearts should not be troubled. Thank you, Ms. LeBron.
John 14:1-3 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." This is a promise that God is telling us. When he says, don't let not your heart be troubled, he's telling you not to fear. He's telling you that have peace, to believe in him, to know that everything that you're going through this world, it's not worth missing out on heaven, missing out on what he has prepared for you. And he even says, if it were not so, he lets you know that in his Father's house are many mansions. You know, he's going to prepare. You know how if you're about to buy a house and you're getting a house built, okay, they're preparing that house. They're building that house. They're building it to the specifics that you're looking for. And you're anxious. You can't wait to get into that house. That's the same thing as what God is preparing for us. He's preparing a wonderful place for us. One of the passages I like in the Bible says that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, and it has not even come into the imagination of man what God is preparing for us. But he lets us know, so don't be troubled, especially right now with things that are going on in this world, you know. God gives you a peace that passes all understanding, that he has something special prepared for us. So let's continue to hold in the faith, to have faith. And whatever it is that's going on into this world, make sure that you're leaning on God for wisdom. And you're asking him, because you don't want to move without God. And he has a promise that he's given us that he will come again and receive you. He will come again and give you eternal life that is far more better than whatever it is that we have here on earth. Because there's nothing on earth is worth losing heaven over.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for that. We shouldn't, and I agree, we should not let our hearts, be troubled if we particularly believe in God and that we can have the assurance this morning. All right, as we continue with our program, and if I sound a little out of it, you all forgive me. It's not easy to accept, you know, the loss of someone that you felt so close to. I mean, we're all human, and we're affected by that. And we're certainly praying for that family this morning. All right, once again, if you're on program this morning, we're going to ask that you press 1 on your dial. And, of course, at the time, the appropriate time, if you would be so kind to mute your phone so that we will not have the interference. At this time, we're going to bring on, we're going to be, we may skip some parts. I don't see Ms. Arrington. She was scheduled to give our Why Did God Allow So Much Human Killing in the Old Testament Part 2. But I understand that there may be some technical difficulty with her phone at this time, so we may have to go ahead and hear from her otherwise. We may have to go in and skip that part. But I want to encourage each one of you all, when it comes to you want to look in the first five books of the Bible. The first five books of the Bible are said to have been written, believed to have been written by Moses. And you want to look at this, and I know that I wrestled with some of the things, and this is what she was bringing out, because she said she too wrestled with some of the things where God had allowed so much human killing. So I want you to take a look at some of that and just, you know, find out for yourselves, and it also shows how the love of God was, you know, even after certain things happened. So the Bible cautions us to make certain that we study to show thyself approved. It's very important, I think, you all to, this morning, my spirit is troubled because of the news I got last night, and maybe rightfully so. Because I want to just, my desire is for the world to be a much better place, for it to be a better place for all of us, for humanity. I'm that humanitarian that seeks God, and that's why we have the International Divine Intervention Day. And we're saying, God, come into our lives. Help us where we can't help ourselves. Help us when we're wrestling with certain decisions in our lives. And then we also have the Miracle Prayer Day, which is today. God, please, we're counting on you, Lord. We're counting on you. We're counting on you because we're human. We can't measure up to God. And so we want to be able to look at it from that perspective. We're counting on God to do for us what we can't do for ourselves. So we're going to get ready for our first testimony this morning. Elder Juvelaine, we're waiting for him to press 1. To give us our testimony this morning. And at some point in time, Ms. LeBron will come on to ask for a praise report. So we're waiting for Elder Juvelaine to press 1 on his dial so that we'll know that he's in the queue and we will be able to take that testimony. But again, like I said, my spirit is troubled, but, you know, God is in control. He's in control, and we've got to believe that. So if I'm not sounding as cheerful, I believe that God will get me there because it's about him. It's about his program, and nothing can happen unless he allows it. All right, so this morning we're going to bring in Elder Juvelaine. Good morning, Elder Juvelaine, and we're looking forward to your testimony this morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Okay. well, the Bible says that we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And I just wanted to share this story of how God makes things work. And I feel like even though we're not worthy sometimes of some of the things that happen to us, God allows things to happen, and it may seem like a small thing, but you know, sometimes it's the least of these, you know. So I just wanted to share this morning a brief testimony of how God make things work in his time. I was on the verge of getting a new job, and I'm a driver with a CDL license at this time, and I needed to add an endorsement to my license, And at this particular time, post or I guess during COVID, I guess you could say, the DMV is packed. And there's no way you can't go there without staying there for at least a few hours. But that's not my testimony. I was able, the other day, every time I went to the DMV, there was a line like in the road. So I would just drive by. I would just drive by and like, not today. So the other day, I went to the DMV and by the way, I had been wanting to take this test for a while. I needed to take this test in order for me to get a job, and I had been planning on taking this test. And first of all, God made a way for someone to call me. I didn't even tell that person that I was going to take that test, but they called me just to check up on me. And they were like, hey, I have the study questions for the test. I mean, the exact study question, because they knew someone. So that's the first part. I got the study questions to the test, and I was able to study and get the questions that were mainly on the test. And so the next step, when I got to this particular day, I drove by the DMV, and I saw one of my old coworkers, and I decided, well, let me go mess with this person, you know, having no intentions of going inside the DMV. Because that line was ridiculous. So I went there and I started talking to the person. This was someone that I had trained before at work. And as I'm talking to them, one of the ladies from the DMV comes out and said, anybody here for a written test? I looked up and I said, I thought to myself, what? Is she asking this? I looked in the line, no one else said anything. I said, me? And she said, come on. She gave me a ticket. She said, come inside. All this happened within maybe like 5 minutes. She told me, come inside, grab a seat, and get ready. I think I sat there for like 25, 30 minutes, and they called me. I was so surprised. I know that it was nothing but God, because by myself, if it was up to me and my thoughts, I would have never even thought in a million years that I would be able to get inside so quickly. I sat there, and after they called me, they sent me to go take the test. As I'm sitting there taking the test, I'm thinking to myself, okay, you have to pass 16 questions right off in order to pass the test. I think the test had 20 questions to it, and I said, well, I'm going to try to see if I could pass at least the bare minimum. I didn't even have to take the whole test, because I got all the questions correct from studying. So I attest all this to my Lord and Savior, because my memory is not the same as it used to be. You know, though, when we get older, you know, things just aren't the same. But I thank God. I thank God for small miracles, and the fact that I was able to go quickly, swiftly through this line, through this DMV line that normally would take hours. I think I probably was there for like an hour, hour and a half at the most. So thank God for the small things.
Amen.
That's my testimony this morning.
Amen.
That's my testimony.
Thank you so very much for that, Elder Jew, that someone could be available.
You're quite welcome.
Yeah, that someone could be available to assist you with getting through that, to get that license that you, or that certification that you were not even expecting they would have. All right, we're waiting for Miss Evans to press one on her dial to ensure that she's there. And we're going to go with our first Miracle Prayer Warrior. If you do have, Ms. Evans, if you're there, you need to press one on your dial if you're participating. If not, we'll go on to the next person. And what we're doing this morning is if you have a special prayer request, if you have a special prayer request, I'm going to unmute all the phones on this end, and we'll take probably a three at this point. And Ms. Evans, if you'd be so kind to take a pen and paper and write down, because this is Miracle Prayer Day, and people will want to get their prayers in, their requests in. So give your name when you call. It's very important. Give your name. We're already a little bit behind time this morning. You know, we were waiting on some people to come on program, and I know it's early, and some people forget. I got up late this morning myself, and thanks to a number of phone calls that I received, I appreciate all of you all. So give your name, and if you'd be so kind to give what your request is, even if it's unspoken, or if you're asking for prayer to intercede for someone, give their name. So it's important that we know who you are, so she'll write down your name and the prayer that you're asking for, and so forth. Sister Evans, good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Walker. Good morning. Happy Sabbath.
Happy. All right, this time we're going to ask if you are, she's ready, and you can go ahead this time and give your prayer request. I am unmuting all the phones on this end. All right. All right, Ms. Evans, if you'll pray for the, this is Brother Walker, if you'll pray for the Strotter, S-T-R-A-U-G-H-T-E-R, the Strotter family in their hour of bereavement. If you pray for the Strotter family, that God will, you know, give a double portion of his Holy Spirit to comfort that family, the Strotter. Any other prayer requests?
Yes. Good morning, Dr. Walker. Hello, good morning.
Yes, morning.
Could you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you loud and clear.
Yes, okay. Yeah, good morning, Dr. Walker and Principal LeBron and to the prayer warrior. Okay, this is Sister Marjorie. Dr. Walker, I'm sorry about your friend, the loss of your friend. And I would like for you to pray a prayer for all the people who lost their loved ones, including Dr. Walker, and also for my family and for myself and for all the people who are sick, and just that God may make them better. And just for everyone in Radio Land, that we may just continue to live in peace, love, unity, and look forward to getting this resolved with the COVID. Thank you.
All right, we'll go with that, Sister. Sister.
Okay. Let us go to the throne room this morning, and let us believe that as we pray this morning together, for the prayer of agreement. So we are going to the throne room of our Heavenly Father. Holy Spirit of God, we crave the anointing right now, because without the anointing, we are empty. Without that anointing of God, we are like dead men bones and filter rocks. So We crave the anointing of God this morning to come as we open our mouth, not even knowing how to pray, but that you will fill it. The Holy Spirit of God, you will pray through us this morning. We are calling on you this morning because we really do not know where to begin, that our prayers can be really effective, that our prayers can really go forth, because you said the prayer of faith, that's the prayer that saves the sick. That's the prayer of faith that moves the mountain. The prayer of faith, that's what opened the Red Sea. The prayer of faith was what Jesus used to call Moses, Lazarus from the grave. The prayer of faith was what opened the mighty Red Sea. Just the prayer of faith. If the faith does not attach to the prayer that have been made, we could speak all the words we want to. But if faith does not attach, no work will be done. Nothing, because when Jesus was on earth, fully man, he had also plugged into the Father so he could do the work that he was sent to do. And when he was translated, he reminds us in the book of Luke 10:19, he said, "Behold, I give unto you power to trample on serpents and upon scorpions and upon all the power of the enemy." So we need to be plugged in to Jesus. He said, "Greater works will he do, will we do, because he's at the right hand of his dad. He's sitting right there. He's interceding right now. Since 1844, he's in the Holy of Holies. That's where he sits right now for us. So when we go to pray, we have to believe. If we don't believe, we are damned. If we don't exhibit the faith that Jesus Christ exhibited his Father, we don't need to pray. But we got to believe. He said, if you have faith, do you have faith this morning to receive? Do you have faith this morning to be set free? Do you have faith this morning to get your sick healed? Do you have faith this morning to speak to that mountain? He said, we can. And he said, the mountain should obey us. Do we have faith this morning in the Father God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Do we have faith this morning that when we pray, we can see the sick get up and move? It only takes faith. And if we don't have that faith, we needless pray. So we go to the throne room of the Father this morning in the name of Jesus. We got to go in the name of Jesus. And so, God, we bereaved this morning. There's nothing we can do. There's no word we can speak to comfort. Only Jesus can reach to that bereaved heart this morning. Only him can reach to that heart. Because even when Lazarus was dead, he asked, "Show me where you laid him." They didn't even know who he was. Oh, Father, when Jairus' daughter was dead, he was about to get fear, panic. And Jesus Christ turned around and looked at him and said, "Don't fear." Oh, God, take fear out of the pictures, because they have gone already. So we just have to pray this morning that the ones that left behind will look and see and ask, "Who is next?" Because we are all in line. Oh, yes, we are all in line. And yes, we are in line. We are next in line for our miracles also. We are next in line for our miracles. Oh, where is your faith in God this morning? We pray for Brother Elder Dr. Walker. As he too suffered the loss of friends and loved ones, we are suffering right now with friends and loved ones that have been gone. We are living right now in this crisis. Have mercy, God. There is death and dying all around us. Death and dying right around us. It's around us. It's around us. Death and dying is right around us. So God, in the name of Jesus this morning, let us wake up. Let us rent a room at New City and stay there and pray. He said, pray without ceasing. Oh God, so we pray for those of loved ones this morning. We pray this morning, oh God, for the stretching family,
Lord, who has lost a loved one, we pray that the mercies of God will attend them this morning. We pray that he will comfort them. We pray that he will bring peace to their hearts this morning, that he will touch that nail scar and then just wrap them in his blanket of love. Oh, God, just like you put the cloud over the sky, just cover them this morning. Cover every single one that pertaining to this loss of this family this morning. Cover them because of your mercy, Lord. And for all who bereaved, dear God, we are praying for them this morning. Oh, Jesus, have your own way, oh, God. It's not about us. It's not about us because we know who you are, Lord. We've got to pray for the world at large. We've got to pray for the countries. We've got to pray for the island. It's not about us who know you. It's about us who know you. Praying for this dying world, Lord. Oh, Jesus, this morning. We pray for Marjorie as she called and asked for prayer for her family members, praying for the sick in her family. We lift them up. But what is prayer if faith is not attached, Lord? What is faith and prayer if she don't believe but her loved ones who she's interceding for will receive? So we speak to all these mountains this morning, Father God. We speak this morning in the name of Jesus to the sick and to the diseased. We tell them, we speak to them to come out of the body because they're illegally trespassing, oh God, this morning. Thank you, Holy Spirit of God. Thank you this morning. Thank you for the anointing this morning. On this prayer line. Thank you, Father God, this morning for the anointing upon this radio service this morning as we pray. Thank you for the anointing of God from the east to west, the north, and the south. Thank you for the anointing that plays upon Dr. Walker right now and all his associates. Thank you this morning. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. We need you this morning to come down like fire upon us this morning. Oh, Jesus, have mercy, Lord. Have mercy, Father God. I've got to cut my prayer right now because this program must go on. But we thank you, Lord. From the east to west, the north and to the south, your eyes are upon the sparrow and you are watching right now. And take over the service right now. Take full control, God. Everyone that shall open their mouth this morning, it will not be empty. Oh, Lord Jesus, but the Holy Ghost of God shall fill them up. Oh, Father, that the land and the radio, the hearway, God, shall be filled with the goodness of God this morning. Whomever tuning in and listening, oh, Lord, that will not go away empty, but that they will hear some comforting word this morning. In Jesus Christ's name, with thanksgiving, we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, thank you, Sister Yvonne. I really appreciate it. At Mrs. Evans, I really appreciate that prayer because that prayer is powerful. When someone is interceding on your part, don't take that for granted because that person is approaching God on your behalf and knowing that God will answer that prayer. The prayer of the righteous availeth much. When praises go up, blessings come down. This is our point in our program for praise report. This is a time that anyone can unmute and just give praises of what God has done. You're not scheduled. This is not something scheduled before, and you're thinking about what God has done. You're just going to pop up. This is like popcorn. You're just going to pop in and unmute and just say what God has done for you.
Yes, good morning again. Sister
Margin.
Yes. I just want to say a praise report for what God has done for me. I remember I'm a nurse, and I remember years ago I used to work 11 to 7:30 shift. And I remember one morning, you know, I usually take the express to get home. And this day, you know, I just felt a bit tired and my eyes were a bit tired. So I said, I'm going to take the road. So I started to take the road and everything. And to me, my eyes was open, but, you know, they say your eyes are open, but you could be sleeping because I don't remember dozing off even a minute or anything. But I remember just opening up my eyes wide, and I was about to run into a concrete post. And then when I saw that, I just stopped the car, And I started saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And just thanking him. You know, so I'm just saying, you know, like, I thank him because I could have run into the post and that could have been it for me. So I thank him that I'm still here to testify about that. So God bless you all and all the best to everyone on the line.
Hallelujah. 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 Could I give a testimony, Sister Laverne?
Go ahead.
Short one. I remember this is Sister Evans again, and I, you know, when you pray, you have to believe. Years ago when I was living in Massachusetts, I was laid off from the school I was working because the students, you know, had dropped, and they had to lay off some of the assistants. And I remember I was it was in the winter, and you have to have oil in your you have to have oil to heat your house because that's what you use up north. And I remember my husband and I said, we didn't really have the money to fill the tank because he was working alone. And I couldn't pick up another job that quickly. And somebody told me that you can get assistance for the oil. And they told me where to go. And I went. And I sat there before the lady. It was a Friday evening. And I was talking to her, giving her all the info that she needs from me. But when she took my information, she said, you're not eligible. So I said to her, what should I do to be eligible to get some oil right now to put in the thing for the house to be heated? But everything went flat. It was a no-no. And I left that place at even, and on my way home, I said, God, we need some oil. We don't have the cash fund because we just paid the rent because we were just in Boston. And I said, we don't have money to call the truck to come and put it. But you know what that did for me? And let me tell you something. God answers when you call in faith. I just simply spoke to him from my heart. I went to church that Sabbath. And when I came home from church that Sabbath evening, there was a truck. Anybody from up north know what I'm talking about. And the truck came to deliver oil. But because it's a two-family house, I was on the second floor. The owner for the house was on the first floor. The hall supposed to go in is, you know, the two funnels are side by side. The two funnels are side by side, but it doesn't mark like first or second floor. But the two funnels that you would come and put the oil in is side by side. So I went home and I saw the truck out there putting oil. So I know I didn't order any oil. But then when I realized whose funnel you think the oil went into, the man made mistake and put the oil in my tank. My basement, he put the oil in mine instead of in the owner that ordered the oil. I didn't have to pay, and they could not charge me. But you know what the company had us to do? They had us to go ahead and put the oil in the owner's oil tank. So I got a full tank of oil to heat my house for that month. It was a mistake by the company, but it was a direct order from God to put the oil in my tank. So I got oil in my tank that I didn't pay for because I had asked God, and I was denied by man. But my God said, go put the oil in her tank to heat her house. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Wow. God puts all in our hand when we don't even know. This week, I'm going to give a quick praise report. It's like money came into my bank account. I didn't even know where it came from, you know, and I was praying God for a particular bill to get paid, and I had to trust him totally. And when I tell you trust him, that means, I didn't even go ahead of God. I didn't even ask one. You know, someone, can I borrow this? And I'll give back to you. But it was just God provided. God put it there. You know, and that's what the essence of our day today is, miracle day. The miracle day that today, the miracles that God has done for us. So we thank you so much. Any more else? Anybody else before we continue on the program? A quick praise report. Just something quick.
Yes,
This is Bella Floyd. I just wanted to give a quick praise report. On yesterday,
right.
I was in prayer yesterday, and God placed five names in my heart, and He just wanted me to just send them out a message to let them know that, you know, he loves them and he's thinking about them and everything's going to be all right because he wants the best for them. Unbeknownst to me, the last person on my list was a young lady that I've never actually met. She was given to me by a friend of mine who had driven her, and he said, hey, I got a friend, Ben, who gives out morning messages, and he might be a good fit for you. So I had sent a message to her, and she immediately texted back and said, thank you, because I had been praying, I had been crying all day, and I had been crying to God because I was so down and so depressed, and I was sitting here trying to figure out when I was going to take my life. And the message went on to read to say that I had asked God to send me a confirmation if he's there. And she said, the moment that I had said that, you sent the message. And so God was using me as a messenger to her. And a lot of times we don't realize, now, like I said, I don't know her. I've never spoken to her. I've never seen her. I've only been obedient to sending messages to her like I do so many of. And she sent me a message, and I reminded her that God sees her as the apple of his eye. And not only does he see her as the apple of his eye, he also has invested a great value in her. And the value that he has for her and in her is priceless. And then I reminded her something very important. I reminded her that you are love and you are loved. The next text came back and said, Benjamin, I had already decided before before I got your message that I was going to take a whole bunch of insulin and just let my life slip away. She said, but your message came right on time, and I know God sent me that confirmation. And she said, now I have strength to make it through another day. So I'm thankful that God, because, you know, when God gives us stuff, sometimes we get so busy, we don't think we have time to do it. I was in a position, I had to be somewhere, and I was like, I said, you know what, I'm going to be obedient to God, because if he gave it to me, there's a reason. And I'm so thankful that when we hear God's voice, we should respond. No matter what else we got to do, we got going on, it's okay. I was late for a situation where I had to be at something, but God needed me right then in that moment. And so we got to remember, when God speaks to us, we need to stop, listen, and be ready to respond. That's my praise report.
Amen. God is an on-time God. You know, he sees us. He knows the problems. He knows the situation. He's not going to let things go like that. And I'm so glad that he came right on time. Send your sister's message. Thank you for that testimony, my brother. At this time, we're going to have Sister Margie. She has a testimony for us. So let's just be ready for what she's going to tell us, what God has done for her. Sister Margie?
Yes, hello. Hi again. Yes, this one was years ago also. I was coming on the express, and it was a rainy day, and the car just spun around in the road, and I was on the express, and I was all the way over in the far lane, spin around, and God made it where I was about to go into the right at the concrete, you know, at the far side of the road. And God made it where, you know, this is my second testimony with the concrete. And God made it where there was no car behind me. The car spun around, and then I was able to just go straight. So I just thank the Lord for this and for all the things that they have done for me over the past year. God bless you all. Thank you.
Thank you, Sister Margie.
You're welcome.
Thank you. At this time, we're going to have, that was a powerful testimony, by the way. At this time, we're going to have Sister Christine Washington. She will be our prayer warrior. And we're going to ask you to please unmute your phone and to put in your prayer request. Let your request be known to God. so that he will answer your prayers. This is a miracle. Expect a miracle. Just come on the line. Expect that God is going to perform a miracle on your behalf. Sister Christine, are you on?
Yes, I am.
All right. Good morning, Sister Christine. All right. Go ahead and ask for those requests.
Oh, okay. Are there any prayer requests for today? I do have one. I want to also give a testimony. I was waiting. But I want to just give God the praise for, of course, 3 weeks ago I brought my brother here from Florida, and he's in North Carolina. And as of yesterday, the social worker called me from social services and said that he's been approved for North Carolina Medicaid. So I want to give God the praise for that. And I also, my prayer request is that he's taking, he can't walk at the moment, but he is taking therapy and he is showing improvement. He had a stroke on his left side and he is taking some baby steps right now with the therapist there at the facility where he is. And I'm trusting and believing that God will have him to walk again, because God knoweth my heart. And I have another request that I'm not going to, it's an unspoken request of something else that I'm working on in his behalf that is for his good. And I already know that since God has worked out everything else, got him here, got him in that facility, that God is going to work out this given situation that I'm working on as well. So I give God all that praise and honor for all that he has done for my brother thus far.
Good morning. My name is Lynn. I have a prayer request. I'm asking, my daughter is in college, and I'm just asking that the Holy Spirit do something miraculous on her college campus this year. We know as believers that Jesus is getting ready to come, and these young people don't have much time, and I'm just asking that the Holy Spirit is manifested on that college campus this year in a mighty way. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Good morning. My name is Sister Joyce, and I'm.
It's Brett. What's your name?
My name is Joyce, and I'm suffering with migraines, and I'm asking for prayer for healing.
Okay. Thank you.
Sister Christine, I'm asking for prayer for my son. He had a fever, and so I'm asking the Lord to break the fever this morning.
Is this Sister LeBron? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Is this? Oh, okay. Okay, well, we'll go on those prayer requests right now, because I'm sure you all have another prayer warrior as well. So let us come to the Lord in prayer at this moment. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, you allowed us to be able to wake up this morning to your holy Sabbath day. Another day that you knew that we needed this 24-hour period, dear Father, to be able to rest and to be able to meditate on all the wonderful, wonderful blessings of what you have done for each one of us. Lord, we're still in the land of the living, and we say thank you because, Lord, all of us know of someone or someones that are not still here that are sleeping. So, Lord, as you have allowed each one of us to wake up bright and early this morning, dear Father, we give you all the praise. We give you all the honor, dear Lord, because, Lord, we all have gone through trials and tribulations in our life, dear Father, whether it's been this week or last week or years ago or whatever. But we all have gone through something, or if we haven't, if we keep living, we will go through something. But, Lord, even though we might have all gone through something, you have never left us, nor have you forsaken us. You tell us in your word that, Lord, you will never, never leave us. And, Lord, help us to never leave you. Help us to always stay focused, dear Father, on just you sacrificing your life for us who wasn't even worthy. Sometimes we feel that we are not even worthy of all the wonderful blessings that you pour out to us. But, Lord, you're such a compassionate, forgiving, loving God. There's no love like your love. None whatsoever. And Lord, help us to, as the sister prayed before, to keep the faith, to never give up. Because, Lord, how can we pray? If we're going to pray, we don't need to worry. If we're going to worry, we don't need to pray. And we do know that prayer moves mountains. So, Lord, help us to continue to pray and to pray without ceasing in every given situation. Because, Lord, you know us the answer already, dear Father. But, Lord, just help us to stay on our knees each and every day. It's just not on Sabbath, dear Father. But, Lord, we need to be into your word as well as into prayer each and every day of our lives. Help us, Lord, daily to die to self, dear Father. Die to self. And all to thee I surrender. All to thee we should freely give. And help us, Lord, to not be conformed to this world, transformed by the renewing of your mind, that we may prove what that is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Lord, help us daily to let our light so shine before men that they will see you through us. Whomever we come in contact with, wherever we are, whether it's at work, in the grocery store, or wherever we might be, let our light shine and create in us, Lord, a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us. Lord, we're praying for all the prayer requests this morning, dear Father. Lord, I'm praying that my brother Larry Walker, he's taking baby steps right now, Lord, and I'm trusting and believing that he will walk again, totally walk again, whether it's with the walker or whatever the case might be. I'm believing, Lord, in you that it's going to happen. And, Lord, you know that I have another request, that unspoken request of something I'm working on his behalf also right now. And I'm trusting and believing that you will work that situation out as well. Because, Lord, again, you know of the end from the beginning in each one of our lives. Man looketh on the outside, but, Lord, you looketh upon the heart. So, Lord, help us to never lose focus. We're also praying for Sister Lynn, who has a daughter in college. I don't know whether she's a freshman or sophomore or whatever the case might be. But, Lord, a mother's prayer. She's praying, Lord, that her daughter will be an example to those other young people that she might come in contact with, and that she will remember the training, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart. So, Lord, we're praying for this young lady right now that her life will be an example to whomever she comes in contact with. Let her remember her teachings coming up as a child. And, Lord, never let her lose focus of you, because, Lord, we all need thee in this day and time. If we ever needed you, it is now. And, Lord, we're praying for Sister Joyce, who's saying that she's having migraine headaches. Lord, we know that you are the mighty physician, the mighty healer. Lord, you, if anyone could do it, you can do it. So help her to believe and to have the faith that prayer moves mountains. And we're praying, dear Lord, for today, for her migraines to ease, dear Father, for the pain to go away. Lord, because we know that in this world we will have suffering, Lord, we know. But, Lord, we know that no one has suffered like you have suffered. And, Lord, there's nothing on this earth, Lord, that you haven't gone through that we have to go through. So, Lord, again, we pray for healing for Sister Joyce. We pray for Sister LeBron, who's asking prayer on behalf of her son. We don't have to know the given situation, dear Father, but we're praying for her son at this present moment. Lord, whatever is going on in his life, we ask you to deliver whatever it is, whatever situation is going on. And we pray that, Lord, that he will realize the need of prayer as well. Because, Lord, there's no prayer like a mother's prayer. We pray for all of our children, dear Father, because, Lord, we know that mother's prayers intercede for children as well as our siblings, as well as for everyone. And, Lord, we know that if any given situation that there's out there that is going on, if we just keep on praying and have the faith to believe, again, prayer will move mountains. Forgive us, Lord, for all of our sins, known and unknown. And we pray for even the prayer requests before, the ones for the Slaughter family that Brother Walker mentioned, Sister Marjorie, who's praying for loss of loved ones, for the sick ones. And, Lord, we pray for all of those that have lost loved ones, whether it's been for the coronavirus or just because of death. I also think of, at the moment, the Patty Buchanan's children, dear Father, who I knew from Florida. I pray for that you comfort her children as well during this time of bereavement. And, Lord, help them to remember the upbringing of their mother. And to, Lord, and we all have that blessed hope one day, for those of us that have lost loved ones already, we know that they are sleeping, resting, waiting for that day when you will come in the clouds and the dead in Christ will be raised up again. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all your wonderful, miraculous blessings that you have given each one of us. And we pray for everyone that is on this call this morning, dear Father. We pray for them. You know it's each one of their needs as well, whether it's been unspoken or they've repeated it for us to pray for. Thank you again for all your wonderful blessings. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Christine, for that powerful prayer. God hears. And this is a wonderful day. This is a day that we're going to see miracles. So if you hear a lot of testimonies today, it is because of the miracles that we are expressing what God has done. At this time, we're going to bring on Sister Liz. But right before Sister Liz, I think Dr. Walker has a brief testimony he's going to give, and then we'll bring on Sister Liz. Dr. Walker?
Yes. Thank you, Sister LeBron. You know, we're talking about Miracle Prayer Day this morning, and, you know, I've got a couple of just miracles that happened for me. This morning I woke up in pain in my neck and my right arm. That used to be my throwing arm as a quarterback, and God knew that I had this program this morning. So I began to do what I've encouraged many of you all to do out there. I've encouraged you all to rebuke and denounce. Those two words, rebuke and denounce, anything that you're dealing with, whether it's your finances, whether it's pain, and you denounce it through the blood of Jesus, through the innocent lamb, through the I am, through God, through the Holy Spirit. You just keep calling on that higher power. I rebuke this pain in the name of God, the great I am, the creator of the universe. You know, go specifically with him. The pain in my neck, in my right side of my neck, my right arm. And let me tell you something. I gave it to him. I was able to fall back to sleep. And, you know, my arm is good as new right now. So I just wanted to give that. When we use those words and we do it in the name of the Father, that great I am, let me tell you, miracles will happen. Miracles will happen. So, Sister Brian, thank you for that.
Thank you, Dr. Walker. At this time, we're going to have Liz for her testimony.
Hello, can you hear me? Hello.
Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Good morning, Sister Liz. Go ahead.
Good morning. Okay, I didn't know if you could hear me. Praise the Lord, everyone. I have a powerful testimony. I just want to give you two scriptures that I live by to tell you the reason why I'm going through such a terrible time and that God is teaching me patience. And so I live on these two testimonies, the Proverbs, the 11th chapter, verse 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. And the second one is Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet with, though, it shall be measured to you again. And so God is teaching me the patient, to be patient. And so I am going through, for about the last 3 months, being patient. My toilet has not worked for about the last 3 months. And, you know, that's a tough situation to be in. And so I didn't have the finances, and I did get enough courage to call one plumber that gave a free estimate. And when he came, he took the 30-foot electric snake and put it in the toilet, and was going to charge me, I think, $100 and some for coming and doing the work. And I let him know my situation, and he said, you know, I'm not going to charge you anything. Now, the toilet still doesn't work, but he did come out and do the work, and he didn't charge me anything. And so here this week, Sunday, dealing with a man trying to break in my house for, since March, for about 5 months, and with the toilet situation, I was at the end of my rope, so I told my cousin, hadn't talked to her in years, and I told her, I said, you know, I'm at my breaking point. I said, I have thrown in the towel. I said, I don't have any help. I know that there's 7 or 8 billion people on the planet. I said, but I have no one that I can call and for help, and my brother lost his job, so he's not able to help me. And so I buy these liquids from the store, and he plunges it, and that's how we get the toilet to work, to go down. And so but it doesn't flush. And so I told my cousin this week Sunday, I say, I have decided that I am useless. There's no one who cares about me. I mean, I don't have a family of my own. You know, I'm not important to anyone. And I'm just taking up space. I don't even need to be on this planet. And I'm praying for God to go ahead and kill me. And I want to, I just want to die. I really just want to get out of here, you know. And So she was like, what? And so I said, listen, I said, I'm going through this for about 3 months now. My toilet isn't working, and this man is trying to break in my home. And the police says there's nothing they can do but, you know, maybe send an email for get extra patrol, but they can't do anything and get family. And so that's when I went and got my brother. But he still tried to continue to break in, and my brother said he's going to kill him if he catch him. So I'm going through this. I said, I don't have any help. And so I'm not working right now, and I'm struggling. So this was Sunday. I told her, I'm throwing in the towel. I have given up. I'm at the end of my rope. And so the next day, Monday, she calls me and says, the plumber will be out to your house today. I have already called them, and I have already paid, and I will be paying for the plumber to fix your toilet. And I say, what? And now I haven't talked to her in I don't know how many years. I haven't seen her in I don't know how many years. And, you know, we was close when we was younger, but, you know, we went our separate ways as we grew up, and she got married and had children, and you know, so I hadn't seen her. And so the plumber came Monday, and they say there's a problem. We're gonna have to come back again Wednesday. So they came back again Wednesday, and they say the tool that we need, it broke, and we're gonna have to put it in the shop. And as soon as we get it back out the shop, we're gonna come back one more time. So she paid for the them to come
Amen,
out again Wednesday.
And
so she's
going
to pay for it. And so it's a blessing that she is going to pay for the plumbing work that I need. And God is awesome God. So thank you and thank God.
Amen. Amen. Sister LeBron.
Amen. Amen, Sister Liz. But be encouraged, Sister Liz. God is still with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. No matter what you're going through, it may seem tough at the time, but don't ever put that thought in your mind about wanting to leave this earth before time, because God knows. Whatever you're going through, he knows why he leaves you in the situation, and maybe to shape you, maybe to make you stronger. So,
yes,
be
thank you for the encouragement. Thank
continue
you,
to
Dr.
stay in the faith. Okay, my love.
Thank
all right.
you so
at
much.
This time, you're welcome, love. At this time, we are going to have another prayer session by Brother Ben Floyd, and I'm going to ask you to also to pray for the speaker of the hour. The speaker of the hour is my sister Lynn. I know she has a message from God for us, and also her daughters are going to be introducing her prior to her speaking. So, Brother Floyd, are you on the line, Brother Floyd?
He is.
Go ahead and I'm going to ask everyone else to unmute for your prayer request.
Okay. Good morning.
Any prayer requests?
Good morning.
Good morning again, brother. Hello?
Brother Floyd.
Good morning again. Sister Marjorie, I just would like you to pray for all the children going back to school, that to protect them from the virus, and also that they may be able to wear their masks in this debate with the governor and with the school board, that everything may work out well and that they may not be punished for them standing up for the right thing for the kids and the mass. Pray for them all and pray for everyone. Thank you.
Thank you for that request.
I'm asking for prayer for the Franchlet family. We have a little church school here with about 70 students, and all four children from one family came down with COVID this week, and so we're praying for that family and for the school. I think there may be four or five teachers at the school. So we're praying that it doesn't spread and that the children heal without any severe, side effects from the COVID. And then I'm also asking for a personal prayer request. I have some decisions to make as far as school, going back to school, and and some sacrifices, and I'm not sure what direction to take. So asking just, for God to make the path clear for me as to what to do. Thank you.
What was your name again, that last person?
Stacy?
And I also have one other question. What was the name of the school, the family of the school? You said France.
Oh, Franchlet is the family, the four children that have COVID.
Okay.
Franchlet. Mm-hmm.
And do you have the name of the school also?
Yeah, it's James E. Sampson Memorial School.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you. Any more requests?
Yes, this is Sister Beverly. I'm just asking you to pray for me, and if I'm praying for myself, asking the Lord to just grant me favor for the application that I put in for couple places to live, and it's so bad now to get a place to live, that the Lord will just grant my request that one of those applications will come through for me this week in Jesus' name.
And what was your name again, please?
Sister Beverly.
Okay. Is there any more requests? Okay, with that, we're going to start to go into prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, first of all, we are so honored and grateful to be able to come to you in prayer for the request that's been sent to us today. Father God, this is one of our greatest ways to worship you, to come to you in prayer. When children come to their father, they come with a certain expectation that not only are you going to do what's been asked of you, but you're going to be able to do it abundantly and exceedingly beyond our own expectations, because we don't even know what to expect when we ask for prayer. We don't even know what to pray for most of the time. That's why you've given us the opportunity to pray. We don't have to do it the old-fashioned way. We don't have to take an innocent animal and go and slay it for our sins and the things that we have. We have a direct connect line to you. And not only that, Jesus takes our prayers, translates them into what it's supposed to be, gives them to God, and God responds back immediately. So we thank you, Father, for our prayer line. We thank you for our prayer life. And we are honored that we have prayer in our lives, Father God. We want to start today by first bringing up Sister Marjorie. Sister Marjorie has a prayer for our children going back to school and the wearing of their masks. Father God, you know who you take care of most. You said in the word, I'm going to take care of babies and fools. So, Father God, we honor this prayer request because we know you're going to take care of our children. We have a responsibility to our children to teach them to do certain things, to be cautious about certain things. But you are the father of us all. You see each and every one of us as the apple of your eye, and therefore you have a greater love for us than we can even have for ourselves. So, Father God, we already know you're taking care of our children. We know that you've already looked at their situation. You are now working on the hearts of men who are making the decisions that is not in favor for our children, but you're going to change that. Father God, you are the author of all us. And so you're going to change what has already been trying to be made to not protect our children. So we thank you in advance, Father God, for taking care of our children and the West wearing of the mask as they get ready to go back to school. Father God, we also have another request. This is a request for the Farrellett family, whose family has contracted COVID. Father God, we know that there is a great enemy that's going around in the earth realm right now. We've given it a name. But, Father God, I want to take that away right now because I want to give too much credit to something that's just out in the atmosphere. It's a situation, Father God, and every situation that you give to us is to either move us closer towards you, move us away from what our thinking was, or give us a better understanding of who you are, why you are being God. Father God, we know that this situation is present, but we don't have to have a fear of this situation. You say, don't have fear. I didn't give you a spirit of fear. That fear was manufactured by man, not by God. So man has manufactured a fear for us that God said, don't worry, I'm going to take care of you. And even if a situation doesn't pan out the way we think, that's just our carnal way of thinking. You said, I already have a plan greater than the plan that you're thinking about. Everything that happens is not the end. Some things are happening because it's the beginning. See, we are in a process of being sanctified for your kingdom. And in that sanctification, certain things have to happen to get us ready to be able to be joining you in the heavenly kingdom forever. So, Father God, we thank you for the sanctification of us as we're being processed. One lady said it earlier, we're all in line. Yes, we're all in line. But live your life as though you have every day ahead of you, every day that's coming. Live it with authority. Live it with power. Live it with joy because you've given us joy. You said live life to enjoy, not to endure. Too many of us have been enduring life. It's time to just enjoy life because we know our next stop is going to be a place where we're going to be happy and we're going to live forever. So it said what you manifest here on earth It is being manifested here in heaven. So, Father God, thank you. Thank you for the joy that you've deposited in us. We just got to activate it and remember that is what you had for us from the beginning. Father God, we also have another prayer request for Stacy. Father God, come and touch her heart, touch her mind, her body, her spirit. She has some questions about her direction in terms of where she's going in her life. Give her a complete and full experience with you. Stacy, you got to be able to prepare your mind to be able to hear from God. You got to get in a place in your own heart that you can sit there and quietly, as you asking God for direction in your life, listen to his words, because he speaks to us all the time. But we have so many other things that's floating around in our thoughts and our memories that we don't actually hear from God the way we're supposed to. So your prayer should be ask God to give you clarity, to give you the ability to be quiet, to tell your mind, be quiet. My Father is speaking to me, and he has some specific directions for me, but I need to be quiet. I need to calm my spirit, calm my mind, calm my anxiety so that I can hear from the Father so he can give me directions that's going to benefit me in my life. So, Father God, we ask that you come and you just pour into Stacy, that she may be able to hear you, to receive from you, and to walk in the path that you've already directed for her to be in. We also have a prayer from Sister Beverly, a prayer of application, an application for a place to live. Stacy, we understand your prayer. We understand your need. God understands your prayers, and he understands your needs. Stephanie, I need you to start going places that you know you want to live and start touching that place and saying, Lord, if this is the place for me, manifest this for my life. We got to get up and do some stuff. We got to go and touch some buildings. We got to go and touch some places, and we got to proclaim, because this is the place that God gave us. He said, occupy until I come. So we got to get out and start manifesting where we want to be, where we want to live. He'll open up a door for you. Find a place. Find a house. Stand in front of it. Pray over it. Lord, listen, is this a place for me? We got to be deliberate about what we pray for. We know God is going to make a way, but God doesn't come off his throne to help with every little thing. He sends people in our lives to help us. That's why he has manifested certain spiritual beings to be able to be helpmates to all of us as we're going through this place in life. Talk to people. Start speaking your place, your address. Find a place that suits you. Write that address down and speak that address and see what happens. We have such great authority and power to be able to speak life into every situation we have. We don't use it. Don't just sit there on your laurels. Get up and praise God. Lord, I know you are making a way for me right now. I'm going to put in 20,000 applications. I don't need but one. Just give me one, Lord, that's going to benefit me. And speak that into existence. Go and look where you want to live and speak that into existence. We have the authority to speak because he said, occupy until I come. So, Father God, that's the end of our prayer request right now. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you for the present moment right now because we are alive. We have breath, the ruach. We have the breath of Christ running through us. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about yesterday. Don't even worry about what to eat, what to drink. Just live your life. Praise God while you're living your life. Enjoy your life and keep on going. We don't know what's coming ahead of us, but we got to be in expectancy that God is going to take care of us. He said, I will take care of you, and I will give you the desires of your heart. So just stay in prayer. Stay in faith. Stay in the presence of God, that he will do what he said he was going to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen, amen.
I'm sorry, there's one little thing I need to do. Just give me 30 seconds. We have our speaker, Lynn. Father God, we just ask that you just allow her, the words that come out of her mouth, to be a blessing to everyone that's hearing her today. We ask that the Holy Spirit invoke her to be a vessel and a spokesman for you, Father God. Give her peace, give her understanding, and give her focus and direction as she gives the word. We thank you for, because we need more women speaking into the earth, women. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Brother Floyd. Wow, I've been blessed so far.
And I know God has a special blessing for us, anointing on my sister Lynn Mitchell, who will be bringing the word this morning. Our theme for today is God's mercy when life is not fair. And as we heard throughout the testimonies of where life hasn't been fair, but God's mercy has intervened. And at this time, Sister Lynn will be bringing the word. But before she does, just to introduce her, we're going to have Delsha and Brooke, her two daughters. They will be speaking on her behalf. They will be introducing her like no one else can. It's something about when your daughters introduce you. All right. At this time, Delsha, Brooke, go ahead and do the introduction for your mother.
Good morning. Happy Sabbath. My name is Delsha Dutta.
My name is Brooke Mitchell, and we're here to introduce our mother, Sister Lynn Mitchell.
Our mother is a second-generation Adventist who had dedicated her faith in Christ.
She lives in Atlanta, Georgia, and she's a mother of three and a grandmother of four.
And although she was raised SBA, it wasn't until she became an adult that she was able to experience a relationship with God for herself. She recently dedicated her life to God in June of this year.
Three kids at the house. She is now spending her days devoted to spreading the gospel in any way possible to those she comes in contact with, and is learning as well as educating others more and more on the good news of Christ.
She is a strong, God-centered woman, and we know God is going to continue to use her to spread the gospel as we await for his return. The next voice you will hear is that of Lynn Mitchell.
And right before Lynn Mitchell speaks, we will have a special song by Mr. Jude Verlaine, Elder Jude Verlaine.
All right. Here we go. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassion they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hands have provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hands have provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Amen. Amen. Great is thy faithfulness. The Holy Spirit sent that song this morning, you guys. He really did. Amen. Thank you so much for having me on, Dr. Walker. I appreciate the invitation to speak this morning. Thank you to your co-host for a wonderful job they did in bringing in this Miracle Prayer Day. We know that when we pray, God will answer those prayers. God is a prayer-answering God. He hears our prayers and he answers. So I'm honored to be here this morning with you all. Welcome to all the listeners, to all the saints that are here on the line this morning. Thank you to my daughters for that wonderful introduction. Thank you to my sister as well. As she said, no one could introduce you like the kids can, and so hearing them introduce me was such an honor and a privilege. So thank you, ladies. I just want to give a shout out to my son. His birthday is today. I don't know if he's listening, but I do want to tell him happy birthday, and I'm thanking God for the years that he's given him thus far, and I'm hoping for many more. This morning, our message is entitled God's Mercy When Life Is Not Fair. I'd like to read one of my favorite texts on God's mercy to open, and it's found in Lamentations 3, verses 22 and 23, and it says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." Great is thy faithfulness. Amen. Amen. I'm going to open with a word of prayer, if you all would join me. Father God, as we open your word, as I share with the people what you've shared with me, Father, anoint my lips with coal from heaven above. Let it not be my words, but your words, and let someone be edified this morning, Father God. May someone be touched by your words. Bless us now, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. God's mercy when life is not fair. So we often hear or find ourselves saying, that's not fair, or that is so not fair. As a child, you could think about when you grew up, growing up, things would happen, or you would get something or not get something you thought you deserved, or someone else would get something you think you should have gotten. What are the first words out of your mouth? That's not fair. Even now, I'll hear my grandchildren, that's not fair. That's a common theme among us as humans, I think. As we've matured as adults, we've come to the realization that, you know what, in fact, life is not fair. Sometimes things just happen. Sometimes you get the short end of the stick, even when you do everything right. Sometimes the good guys do finish last. Sometimes we look around and we see those who are breaking the rules or cheating to their way through life still prosper, or the wicked still being blessed. Like, what is that about? How is that fair? In Psalm 73, David asks God, why do the wicked prosper? He says in verses 3 through 5, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Plagued like other men. We don't see them getting sick. We don't see them getting coronavirus. Why is that?
David asked the question that we often ask. Why is it, Lord, that the wicked prosper? That's not fair. Like, that's not fair. You may have prayed a prayer, Lord, I've prayed for my sick loved one and they still died. That's not fair, God. Father, I studied long and hard for this test and failed while others cheated and passed. That's not fair. Jesus, I've been praying for a child for years and have had several miscarriages. Why, Lord? That's not fair. We can go on and on with real-world examples of where we have questioned situations in our lives that don't seem fair to us, especially when the bad guy gets away and doesn't get what he deserves. But let's think about that for a moment. If life was fair and everyone got exactly what they deserved, where would we be? Jesus wouldn't have died on the cross because that certainly wasn't fair. One man having to take all the sins of humanity and bear it upon himself? Romans 5:19 reminds us, for by one man's disobedience, many were made sinner, but by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. He would have to leave us to pay for our own sins, and no one's life, of course, would be able to satisfy that debt. So I know when you think about it, I'm kind of glad life isn't quite fair as we would imagine it to be. Where is God? Is that a fair question? Where is God when life doesn't seem fair? I think that's a pretty fair question, and we'll talk about that. To start, let's look through several accounts in the Bible where it seemed that God wasn't fair. But ultimately, God's people are justified. As we read through, as we go through these accounts, think about the people and put yourself in their situation. Because, of course, reading through Bible stories, we have the advantage of knowing what's going to happen at the end. But they didn't know. They were in it in the moment. They didn't know how it was all going to end. So in their eyes, it didn't seem fair at the time. We can start with Abel. Abel was killed at the hands of his own brother. However, his life was counted as one of obedience, and he's mentioned in Hebrews 11 as one whom God testifies of. What a legacy that would be to have your life be something that God testifies of time and time again. Your name comes up on God's lips when he's speaking of obedience and righteousness. So in the end, Abel was justified. The children of Israel, classic example, they struggled from time to time with what seemed unfair to them. Could you imagine? They were told to follow certain instructions by God, and God would deliver them out of Egypt. In faith, they did what they were told. They put blood on their doorpost, and God did bring them out as promised. But then they came up against the Red Sea and didn't know what to do. At that time, it looked like, okay, God, you said you were going to deliver us, and you did, but you delivered us here in the middle, in front of a sea, I mean, with our enemies at our backs, what are we going to do? But sure enough, we know how the story goes. God parted the sea, and they were able to walk through on dry land. And then that same sea came crashing down on their enemies. Later in the wilderness, in their journeys, they again thought life wasn't fair. God, you brought us out here. What did you bring us out here to die? No food, no water? They murmured to Moses. But, of course, God provided their bread and water was sure. He provided manna. He provided water. He provided for them time and time and time again. God continues to show us. We continue to see God working in the lives of people in the Bible. Joseph, for instance, was sold into slavery. He did the right thing to resist Potiphar's wife, but was still thrown in prison. That had to not seem fair. It's like, God, I did everything I was supposed to, but yet and still, God was able to use that to the saving of his people. And Joseph came out being the second in command in Egypt after Pharaoh. So what a testimony that was. At the time, it looked so unfair. It looked like, what's happening, Lord? I'm doing what I'm supposed to, but it's not working. But sure enough, God came through for Moses. Hannah, when she was praying for a child, she was being ridiculed by her husband's other wife for being barren. She waited for years for a child. She suffered much. She must have thought that this was so unfair to watch this other wife have all these children and she not even have one. But later she was given a son who would go on to become one of God's most powerful prophets, Samuel. David facing Goliath. This was a great big giant decked out in armor coming out against a considerable smaller young man with 5 stones and a sling. On face value, that certainly was not a fair fight. But God gave David the victory, which was also to the saving of his people. Naaman, a captain in the king's host, was a wealthy man who contracted leprosy. He was an honorable man that God worked through to deliver Syria. I'm sure he found it unfair that in his position, he was, you know, doing what he was supposed to do. He was doing the will of God, and he contracted a disease that was incurable. A man of such high position and wealth, like, how could he be in this predicament? But through divine providence, he was able to get instructions on how to get relief. And even in those instructions, he thought the instructions weren't fair to him. Why would God have him go dip in this dirty water when he could dip in the clean waters that he knew of? But he followed those instructions, and of course, God was able to heal him. Time and time again, we're seeing, if you're seeing the theme, at the time, it doesn't seem fair, but God has a way of working that out. The 3 Hebrew worthies, one of my favorite, were thrown in a fiery furnace for obeying God. So they obeyed, but they still were punished. They obeyed, but they still suffered consequences, and that must not have seemed fair at the time. But their testimony was, whether or not God delivers us, we're still not bowing down. At the time, they didn't know what the outcome was going to be. It certainly didn't seem fair to them, but God was with them, even in the fire. Amen. And he allowed them to, their testimony to be a witness for King Nebuchadnezzar, who would eventually be converted later in life. Time and time again, God is coming through for his people. God is coming through for his people, sorry. We have Mary in the Bible, classic example, Jesus' mother. How unfair it must have been to her and to Joseph that she would be pregnant out of wedlock and suffer potential shame from the community around her. But, oh, what a blessing that one turned out to be. They would be honored to be the parents of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So once again, unfairness, something that seemed unfair at the time, something that seemed like, why would God do this? Why? But in the end, there was God's favor on that situation. The death of Lazarus. Again, as we're thinking about this, we're thinking about what these people must have been going through at the time. The death of Lazarus must have seemed so unfair to his sisters. They were so close to Christ. Like, we as Christians were walking with Christ, we're close to him, but then things happen that seem like, why am I going through this since I'm a follower of Christ, since I'm close to God? Why should I have to go through something like this that is just so not right? This is so unjust. They couldn't understand how this could happen to them being as close as they were to Jesus. He ate at their house. He hung out with them. This was just inconceivable to them. And to make matters worse, in their eyes, they asked Jesus to come, and he waited 4 days before showing up. But when Jesus showed up, everything changed. A miracle was wrought, and their brother came back to life. So again, we're seeing things on face value, things when we're looking at them through our human eyes may seem unfair, but God has a plan. God has a way of turning these things around for our good. And of course, the ultimate in unfairness is the death of our Lord Jesus Christ himself, giving himself for us. Jesus would leave his beautiful and perfect position and home in glory, take on the flesh of sinful man, abide in this dark, dreary, sinful, depressing world and then die a death that made him that separated him from his father, something he had never experienced before. However, without that unfairness, none of us would be here today. So to that, I have to say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen, Lord. So we can see, you can trace God's steps through through these different stories to know God is there in the unfairness. God is there. Where is his mercy? That's the question. Where is his mercy? So let's define mercy. God's unmerited favor towards sinful man, or the foregoing of punishment or treatment that one should have received. So mercy is the very essence of God. God, of who, it's the very essence of who God is. It's at his core, if you think about it. And we can't, of course, talk about mercy without mentioning grace. One songwriter calls them the twins, grace and mercy. While mercy is God holding back what we should be receiving by way of punishment, grace is God showering us with blessings from above, blessings that we don't deserve. Grace and mercy are equally undeserved. When Moses asked God to show him his glory in Exodus 33:19, God told Moses that he would make all of his goodness pass before him. It says in chapter 34, verse 6, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Merciful and gracious, those were the first two things that described God, merciful, merciful and gracious. So time and time again, when God looks down on sinful humanity, before he executes his judgment, before he rains fire and brimstone, before he exhibits his wrath, he shows mercy. He shows compassion. He shows his love. That's how we have to think of God first and foremost before we think about all those other things that we might think about God. He's merciful. He's compassionate. And he loves us. So where is God's grace and mercy when life isn't fair? They're right where they've always been, in his hands, in God's outstretched hands that he's outstretching before us for us to accept his free gifts. Grace and mercy are ready to follow us all the days of our lives, as the psalmist says in Psalm 23, verse 6. And the text actually says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow you. But we can replace that goodness with grace because that's God's goodness itself, his grace. God is more ready to save us than we are ready to be saved. He wants us in heaven more than we want to be there. Can you imagine that? Every time I think about that, I get chills. I cannot wrap my head around that thought or that concept that he actually wants us to be saved. He wants us in heaven more than we want to be there. When we see ourselves in our true condition with all that we have done, when we look at ourselves in the proverbial mirror just as we are, with no pretense, with no one around to impress, if we're honest with ourselves, we will ultimately cry out like the publican, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That account can be found in Luke 18, verse 13. And when God hears that earnest, honest plea from our hearts, he is moved with compassion, and he forgives, and he blesses. Christ said of the publican in verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. So in the end, God brings justice. He brings justice to the unfairness of life. He provides the mercy during the time we're going through it, but he also provides justice. He justifies us in the end. Let us cling to God and his mercy, which the Bible says are new every morning. His mercies are new every morning, as I read in Lamentations 3. Let us not focus on the unfairness of life. Because of sin and Satan, life will continue to be unfair pretty much until Jesus comes. We're going to always go through things. We're going to always see things that are unfair, that should be different, that we don't think should have happened that way, or where was God? Those things will always come up. But if we turn our focus, our hope, and our trust to God, if we look to Jesus and his compassion, grace, and mercy towards us as we go through this life's journey, we will live and operate in the constant knowledge of being justified by God because of his mercies that are towards us. Great is his faithfulness. Amen.
Amen. We want to go ahead and we want to take this opportunity just before I thank Sister Lynn for that powerful message this morning, I want to say that I want to give special thanks to this morning to Sister LeBron for taking charge of the program today. I really appreciate you stepping up and stepping in. Knowing that I'm trying to cope with certain things. Also, thanks to everyone on the program and our speaker of the hour for God's message through her. With our theme this morning, God's grace and mercy here. She brought us a very powerful message this morning, and to God be the glory on that. When I asked her to speak, she did not hesitate to present to God the Father. God's grace and mercy when life is not fair, and she started out with Lamentation 3:22-23, and his mercy is renewed every single day, she reminded us, as was sung by Elder Jude this morning. Life's unfairness, growing up as children, she reminded us, and all of us used to say that. You know, even to my mom, like, that's not fair. That's not fair. It was a common thing, as she mentioned. The adults, we realized that life is not fair. This last, you always heard that. The wicked prosper. David asked those questions about the fairness of that. But in the end, he saw what the wicked, their result thereof was. She reminded us that people study. And I can testify to that. Studying and still failed. While others seem like they just breeze through and sometimes cheat and make it through and prosper. She talks about childbearing, you know, the woman who wondered why she couldn't have children, and then God blessed her in the end. The questions go on, she reminded us this morning, and then we came to the point of realizing that if life were fair, where would we be? The questions, was it fair for Jesus to die on the cross? Huh. That really wasn't fair. I mean, when you think about it, because he didn't do anything. Romans, she took us to Romans 5:19. One man's obedience. We are made righteous through his obedience. And then the question of fairness. Where is God? She brought it to our point. Where is God when life is not fair? That's a fair question, she said. It's a fair question. You know, so, but she reminded us that God is there. You know, she talked about Abel being killed by his brother. And then the fairness in that, when Abel was doing all the right things and his offerings to God was acceptable when Cain's own were not. But, you know, where's the fairness in that? She talked about the children of Israel. They were delivered out of bondage. And they still bickered and complained. And even when they got to the Red Sea, and then God parted the Red Sea, as if that wasn't enough. They had numerous complaints, even as God continued to bless them. She talked about and reminded us that Joseph did everything right. And in the end, you know, where was the fairness? But he got the fairness. He became the second in command just by doing the right thing. And she talks about Hannah. You know, she waited for years, and she suffered much and ultimately gave birth to Daniel. And we know the story of Daniel in the lion's den. And then she talked about David, the little shepherd boy versus Goliath. And let me tell you, that's a powerful story if you haven't read it. She reminded us about Naaman. He contracted leprosy and had to, and where was the unfairness in that? And with an incurable disease that God commissioned him to go down into dirty water to be cleansed. Where's the fairness? But in the end, the fairness was there. God's faithfulness is to the unfairness. You know, what the enemy turns for bad, God always turns that thing around for good. She reminded us about the three Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace, and we know that God delivered them because They didn't see just three. They saw four. And then kept Nebuchadnezzar, the strength thereof. And she talks about Jesus' earthly mother, Mary. Where's the fairness in that when somebody goes and they get pregnant and they're not married? And she knows the scandals that can go around that. But yet and still, she gave birth to the ultimate Savior of the universe. And then she talked about 4 days late, the death of Lazarus, when Mary and Martha, they were like, why would Jesus be late? He's already dead. You were 4 days late. But let me tell you, when God shows up, there is no lateness because God is time. And he's always on time because he is time. And she talked about the fairness in that to his sisters because when God just showed up, when time showed up, all he had to do was say the word, Lazarus, come forth. And we appreciate that. Jesus was separated from his father, she reminded us. How's the fairness in that when that had never happened before, as she said? And yet, where's the fairness in that? But he had to volunteer to come down to redeem man back to his father and to himself. And there's the fairness in that because it's God. It's all about God. God is there in unfairness, she reminded us. She talked about the grace and mercy. She broke it down for us by defining it. The essence of God is who he is. The essence of God is who he is. The essence of God is who he is in his grace and his mercy. And that's sufficient, as he told Paul, with a thorn in his side. He said, my grace is sufficient. You know, we talk about fairness. God wants us in heaven, she said, more than we want to be there. Can you imagine that, she said? God brings justice. And this here was a trembling thought. God brings justice to unfairness. And in the end, mercies are renewed every morning. He talks about God holding back in grace. Help us, somebody. Help us, Holy Spirit. But showering us from above, and that's his mercy. He did not destroy Adam and Eve when they sinned. But in fact, he showed compassion. He showed compassion even when they deserved to die. He showed compassion. And that's what he has for us. Listen, we're out of time, and I want to once again thank our speaker this morning, Sister Lynn Mitchell, for an outstanding job this morning. We are so grateful for the blessings that she has brought to our hearts and to our minds this morning and to our spirits by feeding us with the Word of God. And I remind you all that in 2 weeks we will be having the International Divine Intervention Day. That will take place in 2 weeks. You will not want to miss out on that. In 2 weeks, once again, we're having the Divine Intervention Day program, so we're going to encourage you all to please tune in for that. And at this time, we're going to go ahead and have our benediction. We're going to go ahead and ask. We had Pastor Floyd scheduled, but I don't think he's with us right now, so we're going to go ahead and ask Sister Principal LeBron if she'll close us out with the benediction. Sister LeBron.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much for everyone that has participated on this program. And now let's do the benediction. Now may the Lord of peace, the Lord of hosts, to please be with you and guide and protect you and have his face to shine upon you. As we continue throughout this day, this holy day that he has made, may he bless you and keep you. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.
All right, thank you. And I want to leave you all with this song.
Shadow of turning with you.
All right. On that note, we're out of time. Thank all of you all, and have a blessed and wonderful Sabbath day. Goodbye, everybody.
Have a great day, Dr. Walker. Great show, and yes. Principal LeBron and everyone who participated. God bless you all. Have a great day. Keep well. Keep safe.
Thank you. Have a blessed day, everyone.